छू प्यारे यीशु, छू मुझे छू प्यारे यीशु, सोचों को छू, ख्यालों को छू, ए यीशु, होंठों को छू, सोचों को छू, ख्यालों को छू, ए यीशु, छू मुझे छू प्यारे प्यारे यीशु, छू मुझे छू प्यारे यीशु, छू मुझे छू पाखरु मुझे छू।
I'd like to greet you all in the wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are certainly happy and thankful to be back in the house of the Lord again. And I deem this a wonderful privilege and honor to be invited again to the Ohio Family Camp. And we want to say thank you. May God richly bless the local pastor, and may God bless you all today. And we are certainly thankful for the grace of God in our hearts and our lives today. I just wanted to, just to express to you your thanks and your love when the Lord, about 2 years ago, took away our daughter Phoebe. She was 29 years old, just a homeschool mother. She had two children, Rachel and William. They lived in Johannesburg, 2 hour flight from Cape Town, and she came down to Cape Town. I just came back from the European Convention, and I took her to the airport. She went back home again, and Sunday evening, she just got a little fever. And then she went to church. Her husband is also a minister in Brother Joe Daniel's church. And the evening she came back home and went to go to the drugstore to buy a little painkiller, which is called the Brufen. And she took 2 Brufens. And then the next morning there was an allergy on her whole body. She went back to the doctor. He was a Dutch doctor. And he prescribed, he thought it was measles, and he prescribed more of the same drug, which is Brufen, but it's called My Pain. And then the third day, then a whole there was a reaction, an allergy on her body and her skin, you know. And then they rushed her to the hospital, and then they discovered the third day it was the Stephen Johnson syndrome, which is the chemical reaction in the body. So all the chemicals in the body, there was a poison, the whole body was poisoned. And then they took a struggle for 3 or 4 days, and we flew from Cape Town, which is 2 hour flight from Cape Town, Johannesburg. My wife flew down first, and I flew down again. And then 7 days after that, she was gone. And I can just remember the last words when I stayed with her for 4 days in the hospital. And she said, "Dad, I'm so happy that you could come and be with me. And her whole skin just fell off. And so everything, it's a Stephen Johnson syndrome, it's a chemical reaction. And the whole skin, and the 7 days she was getting better, and we thought everything was well, but there was what was happening on the outside was also happening on the inside. And so it was a tremendous shock to us, but the Lord has really just gave us a lot of strength, a lot of courage. And I remember the last words she said to me. She says, "Dad, I'm so happy that you could be here with me." And I hold her hand, and I was being with her all the time. And it was a tremendous trial to us. But through all the trial, I can truly say that the Lord has drawn us closer to Him. I love Him more. I don't understand why God took it away, 29 years old, mother. Her husband then afterwards got a transfer back to Cape Town. They're living in Cape Town. They're homeschooling their children. And we thank God that I didn't understand, but I know that God has a divine purpose. And she has now become my link beyond the curtain of time. And every morning I wake up, I think of her, and I'm looking forward to see her again. Amen. And so she's become my link beyond the curtain of time. I want to say thank you for all the emails and your prayers and your love, and so wonderful to be supported by the body of Jesus Christ. And may God bless you, may God be with you, and I'm looking forward to spend eternity with you. Amen. And we're not going to a kindergarten service, we're not going to an old age meeting, but we're going to an eternal youth meeting. And so we're looking forward. May God richly bless you, and may God be with you. If you have your Bibles with you, we turn to the Word of God in the book of Matthew chapter 19 in verses 11. We want to be talking our little subject today on what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Talking on, in the beginning, it was not so. Matthew chapter 19, and we want to read a few verses from there. Matthew chapter 19, in verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from the Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he helped heal them there. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, They are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give us a writing of divorcement and put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever married her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive the saying, save they to whom it is given. John chapter 8 and verses 32. John chapter 8 and verses 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let's bow our hearts in the word and pray. Kind, gracious Father, we deem this a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we can bow our hearts before you. Lord, you've been kind to us. You've been good to us. Lord, you fed us when we had no food. Lord, you saved us when we were lost. You healed our bodies when we were sick. Father God, you've been the very present help in the time of our trouble. And you promised that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, but you'll be with us and even in us till the end of time. Father, we thank you, Lord. It's not our love for you, but it's your love for us. Lord, we never loved you first, but you loved us first. And Father God, you cannot stop loving us, and we cannot stop loving you. And Father, we want to say thank you for your great love and your great plan. We pray today that you will come and bless the service tonight. And we pray, God, that you will just inspire us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We want to be taking our subject tonight on In the Beginning It Was Not So, and taking for a thought theme at Brother Branham dealing with the subject on marriage and divorce, and also dealing on invisible union, Christ the mystery, and the rising of the sun. And we see, as Brother Branham said, that we never became Christians, we always were Christians. Amen. A Christian always was. We never became seed by the rebirth. You always were a seed. Amen. You never became a son, you know, you never became a son, but you always were a son. You never became a sheep, but you always were a sheep. So Christians always was. And so we thank God for this great hour and this great time and this great ministry that God has called us in. And looking at our thought tonight, the Pharisees also came unto him and they were tempting him. And they were saying, is it lawful for a man to put his wife for every course? And that was the question. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, so Jesus comes and takes them back to the beginning, made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So there is a leaving, there's a cleaving, and there's a becoming a one flesh. And notice we find the question they asked him, and notice the answer he's giving them. He knows how to answer questions. He knows what's in people's hearts, and he even ordained that they would ask him the question at that time, because he knew what was in their hearts. And we see there is a doctrine part of marriage, and there is a social part of marriage. And so we find many people view marriage as only domestic and social. But marriage is not only domestic and social, but there is a mystery attached to it. And so we see, wherefore they were no more twain, but they were one flesh. And Jesus was saying, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So we see it's not the magistrate that joins or the minister that joins, but it's God that does the joining. And Brother Branham said, if you meet your true partner on the earth, you were part together already in eternity. You drop from eternity and you come into time and you meet the one that God has ordained for you. And so we find They said unto him, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? So they are quoting Moses, and they use the word command. You see, they were asking a question, and they already had an answer according to what they thought. Because they were asking a question, but they already had the answer of what they're thinking, what they thought about it. But when Jesus answered, they reacted. And they felt that Jesus was teaching differently what Moses has taught. And he wasn't saying what the Exodus prophet was saying. Because Moses was an Exodus prophet. And they challenged him. He says, we are Moses' disciples. Who are you? Are you greater than Moses? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it wasn't so. So he takes them back to Genesis, because Genesis is the gene chapter. And Revelation is the harvest chapter. So he takes them back to the seed, to the gene, to where it all began. And he said, Moses, they said, Moses commanded. But Jesus corrected them. Moses never did command, but Moses suffered them. Moses permitted them. In other words, divorce and remarriage is the permissive will of God. And they had the quotes of Moses, but the quote was wrongly presented. And they said, Moses commanded us, but Jesus says, no, Moses only suffered you. Moses only permitted you. And showing us once again that it was wrongly presented, and they were in such a low state model that when Moses came, it was 2,600 years from Adam. And they were all now quoting Moses, and they were sitting in the seat of Moses, and they were presenting what Moses was telling them in the wrong way. Moses gave them something to sort out the situation, but it was not the remedy, it was only temporary. So Moses suffered them, and Moses permitted them. But Jesus goes beyond Moses. He goes before Moses, and he goes right back to the first man and the first woman that were created when God performed the first marriage. God didn't give Adam any writing of divorcement. Because the first couple was made with no language of divorce. And so the first couple holds the secret of all couples. Because that was the mystery couple. Because from that couple comes millions of couples. But they hold the secret. And Brother Branham says to find any truth, any scriptural truth, you have to go back to the beginning. Amen. And Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive the saying, save they to whom it is given. When we come to church, we don't come to uphold a religion. But we come together as a body. A family predestined by the call of God, for God to reveal His purpose to us. And so we see the church is made out of individuals. The young, the old, the married, the widow, the single parent, the weak, the strong. But God has got a definite purpose for us to build strong families. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verses 19, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so we find that the Bible says if a man is bitter towards his wife, God will hear his prayer. His prayers will be hindered. So if 20 men comes to church and 20 men is bitter towards their wives, God won't hear their prayer. And so, and the man will never bring unity in the body of believers. A contention at home will also hinder the body. And not only his body, his wife, but also the body, the church. And that's why if there is no unity at home, in the family, and that family comes to church, then it's just people occupying a space in chairs. And so the church is still in a weak condition. But God has sent his word to build strong families. Because a family is the backbone of a church. You cannot try to be a Christian and say, well, I believe this message with a superficial type of concept. And yet at the same time, you live anyhow at home. And having a very dim view of what you're calling as a father, a mother, a husband, and a wife should be. And what the marriage relationship should really be. And when we as a church are developing, there are areas we have to focus our attention upon. Because Satan exploits the weak areas in the church, in families and individuals. He destroyed the first family. He attacked the first family. He attacked Eve's position. Eve was made in the image of Adam. And he attacked her position. And he said to her, if you can take my revelation of reproduction, you will be like God. And so we find he attacked her and he told her that I was here before you. You only came afterwards. And by the way, myself and your husband already spoke about this. Because he could talk. He had no discernment, but he could speak to her. And so he comes and attacks her position. And the same way when Christ came to the earth, that Satan attacked his position. And said to him, if you be the Son of God, why didn't you do this? And so at the end time, Satan also attacks the bride's position. But we thank God, Brother Branham says, when the bride finds position, the rapture will go. And when the bride finds position, she will become the invincible church. Because your power lies in your position. And that's what the ministry is focusing on, the bride's position, because when you can find that position, there is power. The power doesn't lie in your gift, but it lies in your position. Abram in the promised land could destroy 5 kings. Out of his position, he feared 1 king. But his position was his power. And that's why if you put a man back in his position, that's his power. Put a fish back in the water, that's his power. Put a tree back where it belongs, that's his power. Put a woman back where she belongs, that's her power. Put a man back in his position, that's his power. Can we say praise the Lord? In Genesis, he destroyed the first family. He destroyed the first individual. He did it so he has expertise. Eve was not only physically seduced, but she was mentally seduced. So there was a mental seduction, there was a spiritual seduction, and there was a physical seduction. That's why a man cannot commit adultery overnight. And say, well, I made a mistake. It is first mental seduction. It is first what he reads, as what he feeds his mind on. Is what it looks at. So it's first a mental seduction. And from a mental seduction, his spirit becomes full of adultery, his body is only obeying what was already there. So he cannot say, I made a mistake, because it first came in there. And that's why Satan today has all those pitches around to seduce the mind of the people. But thank God in this hour, God gave us a thinking man's filter. And the mind of God has come down at the end time. So Satan has a knowledge of destroying. Remember, one man is a miniature world. Adam was a miniature world. The whole world was in Adam. And when Adam fell, the whole world fell with him. Amen. So we have to look at the first couple. We have to look at the first man, because they hold the secrets of all other men. Amen. And that's why Jesus took them back to the beginning. God started the world with one man. A family is just one man multiplied. And God gave him a wife for reproduction. What makes a city? Many communities makes a city. Many cities makes a nation. Many nations makes the world. But it all started with one man. That's what we find when Jonah came. Jonah brought judgment to a city. When Moses came, he brought judgment to a nation. When Noah came, he brought judgment to the whole world. God used three prophets, three men, to bring judgment, one to a city, one to a nation, and one to the whole world. At the end time, God raised up Malachi 4, and he brings judgment to a city, Los Angeles. He brings judgment to a nation, the USA. And he brings judgment to the whole world. Because from a city to a nation, it goes to the world. And so God raised up an end time Elijah to bring judgment to all categories. Amen. And so we find multiplication of individuals. It is what the world is today. And we have to go back to the beginning for a true scriptural answer. Because the reason that we were married is because we desired a family. We desired a mate, a companion, and God responded to that desire by providing you a companion and a mate. And God responded to that desire. Because every man has an inheritance. It is inside of him. And providing and putting you in the marriage covenant. Because the marriage covenant makes the act of sex a righteous act. Because Brother Benham says, what is adultery? It's a righteous act being perverted. So the marriage bed is undefiled and it's holy. Amen. But God took the act that Satan introduced to the human kingdom, and God put the act in the marriage covenant. And God says, only in the marriage covenant that will be holy. So that's why Satan attacks the marriage covenant. Because God took the act that he introduced to the human kingdom and put the act in the marriage covenant. So we must understand it wasn't two acts or three acts, it was one act. That caused the entire planet to fall. And when Adam fell, nature fell. The earth fell. Everything fell. Because the earth was tied to man. Because the earth was given to man as an inheritance. So when he fell, everything fell under him. Amen. There was a separation between God and man. A separation between man and animals. A separation between man and nature. Everything fell. But it was one act. Amen. And so we find it was God expressing, God's expression to you, that he was giving you something after he gave you salvation. The next best thing that God wants to give you is a helper, as a good wife. And for you to come into a true understanding of God's love. So God first gives you salvation, and the next best thing that God could give you is a good woman. Because a good woman is a crown to a man. Not only is she a crown to him, but she's his glory. She's his revelation. She's his expression. She reveals who he really is. We see God's first family was to express all other families. Because God works from the first. And if you have to find any truth, you have to go back to the first couple. Because the first couple holds the mystery of all other couples on the earth. And the first couple and their mystery, everything was revealed in that couple. So we see divorce and polygamy was not so in the beginning. There wasn't two Eves in Adam, there was one in Adam. So in the beginning it wasn't so. Amen. The first messenger was a pattern. The first couple was a pattern. For every other couple on the earth, you have to go back to the first. Because if we know what God's first thought was, and we come into fellowship with that first thought, we must look what He's done the first time. Because God's mind is God's thoughts. Amen. How did Abel know there was a lamb in the mind of God? The lamb was slain in the mind of God before the world began. Now how did Abel know there was a lamb in his mind? God revealed to Abel. Abel looked around and he saw why his mommy and daddy having skins around them. If mommy and daddy is having skins around them, something must die for mommy and daddy to have skins. But God by revelation showed him that it wasn't apples and pears. Something happened. And he picked up what was in the mind of God. Amen. If you want to see the first church that Paul was a husband to, it came to such a high standard where sin couldn't stand in that church. You work from that. And the reason all those things was put in the Bible, for us to know what was in the original. That's why Brother Branham says, I preach exactly what Paul preached. If you do not know Paul, you do not know William Branham. Because Paul's message was a prophecy of the end time. Paul could not even enjoy his own church. Paul says, I cannot give you meat, I can only give you milk. Because before Paul could ever come to his church, the church was already a fallen woman. But Brother Manham says that Paul's ministry was a prophecy for the end time. So the end time message is really Paul's revelation. And that's why if you love Brother Branham, you would love Paul. Because Paul's message was a prophecy of the end time. Can we say praise the Lord? And so the only way that we have to look at anything, we have to go back to the beginning. And the early church was raised up by Paul to such a high standard that sin wouldn't even come in that church. And we have to work from the original. Amen. That's why all sin will be removed from the body of Jesus Christ before the rapture. There is no body that's going to go in the rapture in an unrepented life or in a backslidden state. All sin will be removed. Because we're not going home in defeat, but we're going home in a great victory. All serpent seed will leave this message. As Cain left the presence of God and became a wanderer, all unbelief will leave this message. And the bride of Christ is going to go home in great victory. And the only way you can truly get a hold of God's will, you have to find the original. It's the original life. It's the original seed. Because God put you in the right message, put you in the right church age, in the right local fellowship, under the right prophet messenger, do you think God cannot give you a true mate? Because He saw you before you were even born. And He designed you to come out in the right age, under the right prophet messenger, under the right local fellowship. Do you think that God cannot give you the right mate? Can we say praise the Lord? We see the right concept of this marriage. It was a union first, then multiplication. It was first union, then multiplication. It is first bride, then wife. And so there's a process. It's first a young girl. She becomes a bride. Then she becomes wife. And then she becomes a mother. So Satan comes and changes that process. He first makes a mother. Amen. And then he wants to make a bride. And then he wants to make a wife. But God's process is, it's a young girl. Then she becomes bride. Then she becomes wife. And then she becomes a mother. And that order of God has to be kept. And that's why three things that attacks young marriages is, when young couples, when young people get married, there's always joy and bliss. But Satan comes and attacks it. And three things, major things that he uses is money. Then it's family. And then it's bad behavior. Either for male or female. And Satan uses those things to attack that marriage. And that's why Brother Bannon says all hell is against this teaching. That wasn't a slip of a tongue. He knew what he was saying. And if all hell is against this teaching, all hell is against you, and all hell is against your marriage. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. We see in this hour, it is harder to deal with internal things than when external things. It is easier to see the fault in somebody and not in yourself. Jesus said, take the beam out of your own eye, and then take the mote out of another person's eye. A beam is something that upholds a structure. A mote is just a little thing that blows into your eye. And the prophet tells us that when a man is choosing a woman for his wife, he doesn't know characteristics of womanhood. And he only knows woman by outward beauty, and he makes a wrong choice. What is divorce? Divorce is people trying to pull apart from each other. And marriage is people trying to pull towards each other. So one is pulling apart, and the other is to join together. Amen. And we see the young couple saying, we are so in love. We can't do with each other. People want to stop us from getting married. And then after a while, they begin to wake up and realize the decision was wrong. He was fighting together. He was doing everything he can to get this young girl. And after 5 years, he's trying to fight to get loose from her. And he's trying to get the best lawyer to separate from her. Amen. What changed his vision? What changed his vision? 5 years ago, he was fighting together. And 5 years down the line, he's now trying to get the best lawyer to get rid of her. Because he hasn't got a true concept of the marriage covenant. Amen. And sometimes you get husbands waiting for their wives to die. And you get wives waiting for their husbands to die. And they're hoping that one dies, they could remarry again. And we see how Satan fights the marriage covenant. The vows that you made, until death do you part. Because God has placed the act of sex in the marriage covenant. And God says, only in the covenant I will legalize it. Only in the covenant it will become a righteous act. And so you become blind by self, by your own lusts. And you forget how happy and excited you were in the beginning. And Satan has got ways in mind, ways of destroying the minds of people. But thank God, Jesus Christ has become alive to us. By the revealed word. In Genesis, God made a help meet for Adam. And God will make the right kind of a help meet for him. Because God designed her for him. She came out of him. And God was qualified to give man the best. That's why when you look at your wife, you have to look at her as the best God could give you. She's not your slave. She's not second class. She's not inferior with you. She's the best that God could give you. And you should treat her as the best. God didn't leave it to anybody else to provide. God provided the wife for you. Amen. There are certain things God leaves for himself alone. Brother Branham said, you can repent. You can have yourself baptized in water. But God alone can baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So you can repent. You can have yourself baptized. But God says, I want that to be kept for myself. I am the only one that can baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when you understand those things, you realize that God has reserved the right for himself. Amen. And that is why he said, what I join, let no man put asunder. Because I have provided. I have given you the wife. I have joined you together. And no man must put you asunder. So we see the mystery of Christ and his bride. The marriage was for the family that was the first couple. The marriage institution brought the first couple together. And the marriage covenant married them and gave them the promise to multiply and to establish the first home. And so we have to work from the original. If God deals with the first, he deals with the second the same way. If the blood saves one, it must also save the other. If he works from one way, he continues to work the same way. That's God's principle. He never changes. And that's why Brother Branham says, a man hasn't got a ministry unless he has a doctrine. But you can't have a doctrine unless you have a principle. Because principles becomes doctrine. Because you cannot violate your principle, because God has placed the principle of seed. Whatever you sow, that will you reap. The principle of Alpha and Omega. What is in the Alpha will be in the Omega. The principle is that God does not change. And Brother Branham says the key that God gave him to open up the seven church ages was Hebrews 13 verse 8. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. The unchanging God, and by that principle, he opened up the seven church ages. Can we say praise the Lord? So when Jesus answered the question, he went to the beginning. The concept of what was in the beginning was wrong. Because he took them back to the beginning. Because to find truth, you have to go back to the beginning, the original form. Because if you don't see it in the original form, there is no restoration. If it's not in the original form, there is no restoration. That's why the message of the hour is not only a restoration ministry, but it's also a resurrection ministry. Brother Branham says in Rising of the Sun, it says you were a Baptist, you were a Presbyterian, you were a Methodist, And so you joined this church, you joined that church, but all of a sudden a great resurrection came to you by the promised word of the hour. So the message not only restores you back, but it also resurrects you. Amen. Do you know the value of this message? The value, it came and took us back to all original spoken words. The value of the message, that it took us back to all original spoken words. Because in the original, there is original life. In the original seed is the original life. So a prophet is not a reformer, but it takes you back to the beginning. Because the beginning holds the secrets of all things. Amen. That's why there could be restoration. To restore, you have to see what was there in the beginning before it could be restored. Amen. You have to know what Adam and Eve was in the beginning before the fall for you to understand where God is taking you back. Because God works from the beginning principle. Do you know why Reformation was not restoration? Because none of them could take you back to the beginning. None of the five reformers could take us back to the beginning because they were in Reformation. But a prophet comes and takes you back to the original because the original has got the original life. Praise His wonderful name. That's why a prophet was needed, not a reformer. Because a prophet went back to the beginning and he went before the beginning. And for the first time we have a prophet come. Not take you only in the beginning, but it takes you before the beginning. Before God was even God. And it takes you back to eternity in the mind of God. Amen. The five books of the Bible was written by Moses. Moses was not in Genesis. Moses was not in the Garden of Eden. How did Moses know what took place? God gave Moses an audio and a video. He had audio and he had video. He could see and he could hear. Amen. That's why Brother Branham, when he was ministering, it says, for the first time when I was preaching, a vision broke. I saw the Garden of Eden. It says, I could see Adam and Eve. I could see Adam putting his arm around her. I could see the flapping of the skins upon their bodies. So God raises up a prophet and he gets an audio and he gets a video of what has taken place. And that's why when God sends a prophet messenger, he takes you back to the original. Because that's where the original life is. As Brother Eugene spoke this morning. And if the marriage was the first thing, then the truth of marriage and divorce and the truth of the family really come in fullness until this hour. The truth of marriage and divorce, the truth of the family could really come into fullness only in this hour. That's why Brother Branham said that the seven thunders, one of the mysteries that they were sealed under those seals was the mystery. He said, since the opening of the seals, now we understand marriage and divorce. Now we understand serpent seed. So those was the mystery truths that were sealed under the seals to take you back to the beginning. Amen. God has to put you in the age, God has put you in the age where the truth of the marriage covenant and the mystery of the Lamb is taking place. If not, we would have a reformist concept of what marriage really is. But we have an original concept of the marriage covenant. Because this message of the hour has taken you back to the beginning and show you the true concept of the marriage covenant. It was all unveiled under the mystery of the seven thunders, the serpent seed, the original sin. These mystery truths will turn your hearts back again to the original faith. And these mystery truths will gather the bride together. And these mystery truths will give the bride rapturing faith. This is truly the seven thunder revival. This is the bride's revival. Because it is not back to a sensation. It's not back to another human leader. But it's back to the Word. Back to the original. That's where the days of man is over. William Branham was the last one man scripture. There is no room for another man. He was the last one man scripture. Christ becomes the eighth angel. Can we say praise the Lord? And the human leadership, there is bondage and fear. But the capstone has taken fear away from you. Praise His wonderful name. And that's why the Redeemer had to come. It had to do with the last days. Why we can't marry. He can't marry an organization. He had to get a virgin bride. A virgin womb to rectify the thing. That's why God said to Brother Branham, don't smoke, don't drink, don't defile your body. I have a great work for you. So God was looking for a virgin womb, a virgin mind. And to the virgin mind, God could birth a bride through that. Can we say praise the Lord? And before he could have a future home, he must have a bride. A family isn't going to live in a future home all by himself. He can't have a future home if he hasn't got a bride. We live in an age when 9 out of 10 marriages end up in divorce courts. The pressure gets harder. And people who marry under Reformation, their marriages are breaking up. They marry with the wrong concept and everything is falling apart. Thank God for the original life. And for the original seed. Where everything that's not in the original will break under pressure. You can read books on 7 ways of successful marriage. 10 ways of how to be a good man. 12 ways how to do that. Those books are wonderful. But if you do not have the real concept of the marriage, the doctrine of marriage, when the pressure comes upon you, all those concepts will never help you. Well, what holds you in this hour is the true concept of the marriage covenant. Can we say praise the Lord? Everything under that's not under the original will crumble in. God in the beginning was one man, one woman. Then after the fall, it went into polygamy. It went into concubines, incest, man with man. Then at the end, it was man living with animals. So you can see the act wasn't given for the human kingdom. It was for animals. Can we say praise the Lord? It struck the entire human race. All nature showing the result of sin. Because man and creation was tied together. And when man fell, the earth also fell. When man is redeemed, the earth is redeemed. Because the earth and man is linked together. Because the earth was given to them as an inheritance. You have to see Adam and Eve, and you have to see Eden. Because they were tied to it. We shall reign as kings and priests on the earth. Your home occupies a part of the earth. You may not be able to change the whole world. But you can live in the measure of that portion. and have dominion and make a difference. Adam's home got broken up before the fall. God came down in that home. God walked with him and talked with him. It was a family. It was a man. It was a church. It was a kingdom. It was all three in one. And God loved to fellowship with Adam, because God's nature was in Adam. And the only oneness that God can have, that the nature of God has to be in you. Because God only fellowships with his own nature. Can we say praise the Lord? In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verses 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. Then he says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 32. Whoso committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroys his soul. Proverbs 9 and 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So we see that adultery, anything outside of the marriage covenant, always looks pleasant and sweet, but it will destroy your soul. And that's why you have to do yourself a favor to love your wife. Because she is your protection. Can we say praise the Lord? Your home is a kingdom. You're a king in your home. Your wife is a queen. And you take power and authority, dominion in your own kingdom. People want to have power to clean up hospitals, heal the sick. When God wants to give you things to clean up your life. And clean up your homes, because the token is for the household first. God will not trash you with the third pool unless you have your home clean. Because the token is for the household first. People want to be used of God, but a bad testimony at home. That's deception. If you preach and you talk about this message, in a sinful state, you become a false anointed. Because it's the original life. And the original life must bring, the original seed must bring for the original life. That's why Brother Branham advised a young man not to get married, because without the Holy Ghost, because otherwise he will give his wife hell upon this earth. That's why a young man should not even think of getting married unless he has the Holy Ghost baptism. If he hasn't got the Holy Ghost baptism, he will give that woman hell upon this earth. Praise his wonderful name. How many men are creating an atmosphere of hell? How many women having nervous tension because of an abused and tight-fist husband? How many women today have nervous breakdowns as because of a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost? And once God has given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will lead you to the full Word of God. And you'll be able to bring that family under subjection by the Word of God, and you'll be able to be the king in your domain. May God help us tonight. We see before we can apply principles for the home, for the family, marriage or healing, we must go back to the beginning, see how God did it the first time. I'm taking a long way to get to my thought. When Jesus Christ came to the earth after 4,000 years of tradition and sin that made the word of God of no effect. And Jesus said, you've made people twofold children of hell. And he says, by your traditions, you have taken away the effect of the word. Now, if the effect of the word is being taken out by traditions, what will happen if you take the word as it is and go back to that word? It will have a powerful effect upon your life. That sin will have no more dominion over you. Sin will not dominate your life. But every sin will come under your feet. That's why the message of the hour has got the power to produce a sinless nature. Because through Jesus Christ flew a sinless nature. And the reveal word of this hour, if that word is accepted by a true seed of God, it will produce a sinless nature in you. Because it's got the power to produce after its own kind. Because when the word is diluted, it becomes weakened. And the word lacks the power that people needed to face the challenge. And so they conform to double standards. Thank God tonight, we have received the original life. Amen. Brother Manum, in the message, it wasn't so from the beginning, was giving us a principle, go back to where it originated from. Because there is nothing new under the sun. If you want to find the true family, go back to the beginning. In other words, you cannot find a broken home with a woman under subjection, under headship of a husband, and the husband under headship of Christ. You cannot find a broken home there. If a woman is under her husband, he is under Christ, you can't find a broken home. Because that's going back to the Word. When you begin to operate with the Word, what's the miracle will take place. That's what the prophet says. Apply the word, the miracles will follow. God didn't put the woman in the marriage covenant to be dominated and to be manipulated by a man. It was there given for harmony. The Bible says, wife, with your chaste conduct and coupled with fear, you can win your unsaved husbands. Amen. So it wasn't given for manipulation, it was given for harmony. People want redemption without suffering. Like I said, could you redeem a husband or a wife, your children, without suffering? Because you are an amateur redeemer. Jesus redeemed us, could not redeem us without suffering. Isn't an intercessor touched with the feelings of the infirmities of the people? We see how the first couple, the first home evolved, how the home fell, because every home will fall the same way. The way that home fell, every home will fall the same way. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is still before us today. And when you get to the age of accountability, it is before you. Because nothing is attributed to you until you make decisions. Because you are a free moral agent. Because you become responsible for your own actions, and your actions are the reflections of your decisions. What kind of influence is upon your life and what you respond to? Can we say praise the Lord? The wife you choose shows your actions. God has given you His word, and when you act upon His word, it's going to become effective. Because you apply the word. Amen. Like applying a token is applying the word of God. How we are responding and dealing with problems. And that's where you will see the word is more powerful than your circumstances. Because faith in the word will operate the word. And that's why Brother Branham says, for revival, get back to the word. For God's pleasure, get back to the word. For God's displeasure, leave the word. Because that is what the message came to do, is take us back to the word. Whether it's for your home, whether it's for your wife, whether it's for your children, your financial situation, even the health of your body, there is a word for that situation. He will put the key in your hand, and He will teach you to open up the way for you to walk in it. And you'll be able to identify your situation, and you will say, I'm a wife of an unsaved husband. And you'll be able to apply the word, And by applying the word, that word will work for you. Can we say praise God? Save doesn't mean that you're in the message. You know, when you talk about save, it means there to be delivered. If you are not delivered from the desire of sin, you are not saved. Because save means that God has taken away all the desire of sin. Sin is all around you, but the desire has been taken away. So you say, I am saved. Because all desires is taken away from you. You can walk in the motel room, you have no desire to put that television on. It's there, but it doesn't bother you. You've got no desire because saved means delivered. Regardless of how many pictures and books and things you might have or even come to church, you have to be saved. And saved means that the desire of sin has been destroyed in you. Because he that is born of God cannot sin. Cannot disbelieve the word. Because all the desires is taken out of you. Thank God for the revealed word. When you live contrary to the word, you're an unbeliever. You don't serve God in the rear view mirror. You are what you are now, your state, your condition, that's what you are. And that's why we thank God today for the message of the day. God has sent us the greatest thing that's ever struck the earth is the revealed word of the hour. We had an identity crisis. We never knew who we were. But the message of the hour came to bring our identification to us. We see how God does anything or makes decisions. He always stays with that decisions. That ought to enlighten our faith, but that God cannot change. God has got no second thoughts. God cannot choose you and change his mind about you. God cannot say that I made a mistake. Because he saw you from the beginning. He doesn't look at the in-between. He only sees Alpha and he sees Omega. He doesn't look at you from time, but he looks at you from eternity. Praise his wonderful name. To be able to live in this world and say, all desires of sin has been taken out of me. I've got no desire. I don't have to run away from the internet. I don't have to run away from anything. All desires is taken out of me. It's no more do's and don'ts, but the desire is gone. And when the desire is gone, you don't even condemn anybody who struggles with anything. Because you know it's not your own works, but it's the word of God that done it for you. Praise his wonderful name. There is nothing new under the sun. Whatever circumstance, somebody in the Bible went through that before you. You have a place to identify you. That's what the church will. The Roman Catholic Church took the Bible away from us. The message of the hour gave the Bible back to us. And that's why we can enjoy our Bible. The message of the hour never took the Bible away from us. It gave the Bible back to us. And when he gave the Bible back to us, it was an open book. This was a closed book to us. But now it's an open book. And so we worship God, not from a closed book, but we worship God under an open book. When God says something, all heavens and earth will pass away. But that cannot pass away. When God says anything, heavens and earth will pass away. But that word will never pass away. Therefore, That should give us character. That's what the Bible says. The good seed is the word of God. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. So the children of the kingdom becomes the word of God. So you are the word of God. And heavens and earth will pass away, but you will never pass away. Because you are Jesus in bride form. When Jesus was telling them that in the beginning it was not so, God didn't have Adam and a wife and say, put her away and marry a next woman. Who is the next woman to marry? God made one man, one woman. So God's, in God's picture, there is no divorce. Amen. There is no divorce. Amen. They were saying Moses commanded us to put her away. But Jesus said in the beginning, he made them one man, one female. He said, leave father and mother and cleave to wife. Leave your parents, the two people that produce you, the closest blood tie to you, the channel that God let you come through into existence, says, leave them and cleave to your wife. Not leave your wife and go back to your parents. But leave your parents and cleave to your wife. Can we say praise the Lord? In Genesis, Adam making the statement, he was prophesying. He understood this is a part of us. Adam says, so shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Adam was prophesying. In other words, the whole concept of marriage is a woman is a part of a man. It's a part of a man. If you run her down, you run yourself down. If you speak bad about her, you speak bad about yourself. If you go to your family and run her down, you are really a fool. Because that's a part of yourself. That's your reflection. Can we say praise God? God never went to some material. God was showing the wife could never be outside material, but your wife is inside material. If God took outside material, Adam could have put her away. And Adam would have said that you're not a part of me, but God made the first couple with no language of divorce. Because it wasn't outside, it was inside material. And that's why, if you are a part of Christ, Christ cannot put you away. He cannot divorce you. He cannot separate from you. Because you are a part of Him. That's why the seven Calvary took a bride from His side. But the seven seal puts the bride next to His side. One section of redemption took the bride out. The seven seal comes and puts the bride next to His side. She's now married in community of property. Whatever is hers. Wherever he goes, that's where she goes. His mind is her mind. She has his potentials. Because she's a part of him. That's why God told Brother Bannon, pick up your pen. I want to dictate a letter to my bride. God wrote a letter to his wife. And told his wife that she's a super church, a super race. It would be nice for you to write a letter to your wife. Pick up your pen and express your feelings to her. Can we say praise the Lord? So Jesus standing there and all the experts of religion was there questioning him, thinking they have a deep concept. Thinking they are teachers of what the Exodus prophet Moses said. Because when Jesus came, they were sitting in the seat of Moses. They knew all the quotes of Moses. They knew quote number one, quote number two. They knew exactly what paragraph, what page. They were sitting in the seat of Moses. And they were standing, the word of God standing before them, is looking back at the beginning and he showed them how shallow their revelation was. And they were even quoting the prophet wrong. And Jesus saying, I'm going to take you before Moses. I'm going to take you right to the beginning. Because that's where the scriptural answer is. The fall was a perversion of what the original. That is why people who preach divorce and polygamy, and they are destroying themselves. They are trying now to believe that Malachi 4 restored us back to something that was not original. If you believe in polygamy, if you believe in polygamy and believe in all this stuff, then you are believing that Malachi 4 never restored you back to the beginning. Because the beginning holds the answers. Can we say praise the Lord? He said polygamy was an adultery. And how can he restore us back to adultery? He's not a reformer. A reformer ideas of a pastor in the church is a wrong concept. Wouldn't have a Methodist, a Baptist idea, a concept of what a pastor should be. We have the original concept, and the original concept is we have to go back to the Word. Because every Word of God is a seed. That's why when people are in false doctrines, and you come from a false doctrine camp, the best thing for you is to throw all the seeds away. If you've been in any camp of the message, and you come out of it, it's God's grace to you. The best thing for you is, don't flirt with that. Take all those DVDs, take all those videos, take all those tapes, throw everything in the dirt bin. And re-sow Malachi 4 seeds. That's going to be the only way for healing, because you will never get healed with those seeds still being there. Take every picture, every tape, everything you've heard, throw it away. And re-sowed back Malachi 4 seeds. And when you sow back Malachi 4 seeds, you will reap a Malachi 4 crop. Brother Branham says, Billy Graham sowed evangelistic seeds. Oral Roberts sowed Pentecostal seeds. Malachi 4 sowed resurrection seeds. And if you sowed resurrection seed, there has to be a resurrection. That's where the message of the hour is not only restoration, but it's also resurrection. In other words, when you don't go back to the original thing, you have to carry a substitute in the rapture. That's why our sinful bodies won't go in the rapture. No matter what we do with this body, God will give you a new one. This one comes by a perversion. But God will give you a new one. Can we say praise the Lord? This one comes by sexual desire. This one was born the wrong way. But God says when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, there's another one waiting for you. Can we say praise the Lord? So we realize the foundation of our faith is doctrine. A church without a doctrine is not a church. And a family without a doctrine is not a family. And you have to know the true concept of the Word of God. Can we say praise the Lord? You have to know how to work with your revelation. Where you stand with your revelation, because your revelation will bring you a complete restoration in your family. It will restore you. The message of this hour, the power of the Word of the God of this hour will take everything away from you. It's got the power. Amen. You know, this message shows us where a wife and husband ends up. Remember, the prophet, when the time came, he was going in. His wives were there. Could you imagine that? Both his wives was there. He said, when I saw Hope, she was no different, only like a guest of honor. Why? Because he was honored too. They were honoring him and she was honored too. She was honored too. There was an equality for both. Amen. That's why this thing doesn't end here. It goes on the other side. Brother Branham says you gather on the other side with your flocks. That's why before the rapture, there will be a settlement between pastor and church. Because what is gathered on this earth, God will take it right on the other side. So what you see on this earth, it will go right back on the other side. And that's why I do believe before the rapture that there will be a great settlement between pastor and church. There will be a oneness. There will be a perfect equality between pastor and church, because whatever is here, God will transfer to the other side. Praise His wonderful name. Praise His wonderful name. This message came to restore us. The third pool was a man praying for his wife and said, Lord, she did not mean to do that. He was a man praying for his wife and said, God, she did not mean to do that. And he told the Lord, Lord, she washed my shirt, she irons my clothes, she never complained. The Holy Spirit said to him, stand up. Say, thus say the Lord, before the doctors ever touches her, she'll be made well. He was a man becoming an intercessor, standing in the gap for his wife. Not desiring for God to take her away, but say, God, I'm intercessing. I'm standing in the gap that you will do something for her. Praise His wonderful name. Adam and Eve was a type of Christ and the church. The Alpha bride was in oneness with God, but Satan beguiled her as he beguiled Eve. All the messages on oneness and uniting time and invisible union was God so designed to intend to work with us as a body, as a family, as a couple, and as a church. That's what the token is for the household first. It is not only for the church first, but it's for the household first. Because that's where it's got to be applied. And thank God tonight, we've gone back to the beginning. And God has come to restore us back to the beginning. We see the first couple that God brought in existence was put under the mystery of Christ. The church, so we see sex wasn't part of the original marriage covenant. The Bible begins with marriage and it ends with marriage. The Bible opens with a woman and the Bible closes with a woman. It opens with the pregnant woman, Eve, and it closes with the pregnant woman, the church. And so God was showing us the real marriage covenant. The original marriage covenant was the wife was a part of the husband. Not outside material, but she was inside material. And if a man has to put away his wife, he's putting away a part of himself. And he becomes incomplete. And that's why Brother Branham says that God is incomplete without us. We are His victory. And we are the very reason for His death. And God needs you more than you need God. And God desires to fellowship with you more than you desire to fellowship with Him. Just imagine, God desires you more than you desire Him. You might say, well, God, I have a need. But God says, I also have a need. And we can write the whole list, and God, this is my need, my need, my need. But God says, but I also have a need. And God desires to fellowship with you more than you even desire to fellowship with Him. Because He has a need. He was lonely, and you were a response to His loneliness. And you would think, well, God is a great God. He's the great creator, such a powerful God. He's got no need, but He's got a need. Brother Branham said, just praise Him a little bit and watch and see if He won't come and do something for you. Just worship Him a little bit. Just honor Him a little bit. And that's why when we come to God, we must never complain. Because God hates a complaining spirit. When we come to God, we must first honor Him and thank Him and say, God, thank You for saving me. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your redemption. Thank Him and thank Him. And just start thanking Him. Then He comes on the scene and He supplies your need. Can we say praise the Lord? And as the same applies to a woman. If a woman just start praising her husband. Say thank You for marrying me. Thank You for providing the children. Thank You for building the home. Thank You for being our provider, protector. Thank You for what You've done for us. And start praising Him. And you can pull out of Him whatever you desire. You can pull out of God whatever you desire by just thanking Him. Can we say praise the Lord? The same with the local pastor. Start thanking him. Say, Pastor, thank you for ministering for us. Thank you for being there for us. And just respecting him and honoring him. And you can pull out of him whatever you desire. Praise his wonderful name. That's why, if we could grasp the true revelation of the marriage institution and the marriage covenant, we would have a true concept. And the true concept will be a true foundation where a true relationship can be built. Because when you get to a true revelation of what the marriage union is, you can do everything in your power to get along with your wife. Because you understand it's no more social and domestic, but it's a great mystery revealed to me. So we see people look at marriage as something purely domestic and social, but they never live in the position where they have the mystery of the faith. And when there is circumstances that purely look for natural help, they think of a marriage counselor, they think of a social worker, they think of a government program, because they view marriage as social and domestic. But if you can see marriage as a real mystery, as the real doctrine of your life, then you go to God. And you go back to the Word, because the Word has the answer for everything. And we're living in an age of temperamental people, a temperamental age, and we have so much emotional, unstable people, and not knowing that life is not without problems. Everything that God allows you to have is an opportunity. If God allows sickness to come upon you, it's an opportunity. You would never know God is a healer unless God gives you a sick bed. You would never know that God is a deliverer unless God takes you through a heavy trial. You would never know all the things that you call calamities is actually opportunities to bring the best out of you. Can we say praise the Lord? The God that has given us His Word and His Spirit, that faith in the Word can master all circumstances. People become unstable and they are haunted by their past, what they did and what people did. But with perfect faith, you have a master's degree. You can master all circumstances. Because you have faith in the Word of God. There are things in our lives that we have to get clear. We see God's purpose was to produce a bride. God's purpose was to let you come forth in this end time to express Himself. And that's why Brother Branham says, if you can see God's purpose, you will make life easy for yourself. And you'll make it easy for God. Because if there's no purpose, God will be an author of frustration and not of peace. But before God could deal with you, you have to see purpose. Because purpose precedes predestination. What He purposed, He did predestinate. Can we say praise the Lord? We are not close observers of our own selves, and we watch other people. And we watch what they do, and we're not seeing the foolishness that is in us most of the time. But we have to come back to the Word. Because when the Word is applied, everything is settled. Can we say praise the Lord? And so we see, when Jesus said, how come Moses told us that we could divorce, but how come the Word says we could separate? He said that is because of the hardness of your hearts. You're broken off from God to the fall. Your life is a separation from God to begin with. Because we must understand, anything that's permitted or a substitute can never go back to the original. That's why there will be no sexual contact in our new bodies. Because it is permissive will. Amen. We are going to a glorified condition. That's why the first doctrine that Jesus came was, you must be born again. It says your birth is wrong.
You came the wrong way. You came by sexual birth. And I am here to cancel that birth. That's why when you get married, you must never get married with a boy with one birth. You must get married with somebody with two births. Don't get married with somebody that's only got one birth. You'll have hell upon this earth. But get married with somebody who's got two births. Can we say praise the Lord? And Jesus was identifying their heart. He was identifying their birth. They couldn't grasp the true concept of the marriage covenant. Amen. That's why they were seeing a woman only as objects. If they don't like them, they can always change them. Woman wasn't viewed as a mystery. It wasn't viewed as a part. It was viewed as objects. It was viewed as property. It was viewed like a motor car in your garage. You can just change it. You can swap it when you don't want it. But marriage wasn't viewed in that light. It was viewed that the woman is always a part of the man. And being a part of the man, she could not put that part away. Amen. Because we must understand that anybody that is born by sexual desire is a selfish person. And the nature of fallen man is selfish. It's all for himself. But Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Crucify yourself. Get rid of yourself. Divorce yourself. Because you'll never know me unless you die of yourself. Because only in death you will know me. Praise his wonderful name. He began to speak about the new birth to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the strictest of all Jewish religion. And he had no revelation of this mystery, the new birth. Now we can understand that the new birth, you could never understand. If you don't understand the new birth, you'll never understand marriage and divorce. Because it's tied together. What is the original sin? The serpent seed, adultery. Adultery is what? A breach of the original marriage covenant. Amen. The serpent was a man going with another man's wife. And when she left their flesh that she was joined to by God, she joined to someone that was not her husband. So the first woman left her husband and she joined to strange flesh. That's why there was a separation. God came to separate the waters from the waters, separate everything, and the final separation when God separated the woman from the man. But she made another separation. She went to separate from Adam and she joined the animal kingdom. And that produced the fall. And God took the act. And God put the act in the marriage covenant and says, only in the marriage covenant I will legalize that. So we see the marriage covenant was for multiplication by creation. It wasn't multiplication by sex. She took the original marriage covenant and pulled it down to a lower level and misused it. And she defiled herself and also defiled her husband. The Bible says a foolish woman plucks down a house, but a wise woman builds up a house. And because of that, everything came to a disruption. That's why before Adam knew Eve in the flesh, the serpent knew her. Who knew her first? It was the serpent. But who knew her first in the spirit? It was Adam. Because she was part of Adam in the beginning. But who knew her first in the flesh? It was the serpent. Who knew you first in the flesh? It was Satan. You come in this world speaking lies. People are more prone to lies than to truth because your very birth was a lie. But who knew you first? God knew you first in the offering. So it doesn't matter who knew you first in the flesh, but it does matter who knows you first right in the beginning. Praise his wonderful name. So when the covenant was broken, the people were fallen. So fallen people cannot fulfill the original covenant. So there was a need for God to go give another covenant. a covenant of multiplication, not by creation, but by a sexual multiplication. The first covenant, they were co-equal under the first covenant. The fall changed the name from Adam to Eve. And God placed them under a headship. Because Genesis chapter 5 verse 2, God created them male and female, and he called their name Adam. Her name wasn't Eve, her name was Adam. She was part of Adam, she was Adam. Because she was him. Can we say praise the Lord? The act brought an interruption in nature, breaking the marriage covenant, marriage vow. It affected the whole nature. The lifeline, the timeline was broken. It struck both man and nature. Polygamy started to appear. They were under innocence of the holy veil. This act shattered everything. If adultery did one time, it will do it all the time. The way that home fell, that's the way every other home would fall. That's why I said a man can be ministering for 40 years and 20 years. One act outside of the covenant of the marriage, he falls. His whole kingdom falls. Everything is destroyed because the act outside of that covenant, his kingdom falls. And that's why we thank God for a thinking man's filter and for the holy man's taste. That's why we thank God for the message of the hour that has came to bring sanity back to us again. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why serpent seed, marriage and divorce, the new birth, the mystery of the incarnation showed how God was becoming flesh to rectify everything and take us back to the beginning. For God to produce himself, spirit sons and spirit daughters of God back again. These were the mysteries of the seven thunders that were sealed in the word. It was a hidden secret of redemption to take us back into the beginning and to show us once again that we can go back where God wants us to be. And as we heard this morning, the whole world is hybrid. The food is hybrid. People are hybrid. But thank God. Amidst everything, there's an original life. There's an original seed. There's an original word that God has taken us back to. Look at all these charismatic churches. They mean well. People go there for spiritual drugs. And they go for worship and praise. But there's no seed. There's no word. So they have a wonderful time and just praising and worshiping. But when they go back home, they're empty again. And they've got to go back next Sunday again for another spiritual drug. And they become, and these people make money with them because they give them spiritual drugs. And they sell them drugs and they have to pay, and they have to even have a debit order to take your money before you even give it in the church. And they become, and all these charismatic ministers have become multimillionaires by doing what? Giving people spiritual drugs. But thank God we have the seed. The seed is the word of God. And it will produce after its own kind. That's why we're not church lovers. We are God lovers. Our joy doesn't come by church. Our joy comes by looking in the Word. Whether there is no church, we still have joy. Because we are the original seed. We don't have to be sprayed. We don't have to be looked after. We don't have to care for it. Because it's got life in itself. Thank God today for the Word of God. We see adultery wasn't part of the original plan. That's why we go back to Jerusalem, to the New Jerusalem. It's a world without adultery, a world without sex. Now, at the end, it bugs every man. It bugs every woman. But God, by His grace, has sent us the revealed Word. Jesus Christ back again. To do what? To take us back to the beginning. And that's where the message of the hour is the most powerful thing that ever struck this earth. It's not William Branham. It's Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, I'm only standing there when he appears. But that's feeding upon a man. We are feeding upon the body word of the Son of Man. It is Christ coming back reproducing himself back again in human beings, in bride form, in bride age, in bride coming. These mystery truths were sealed in the Word. It could only be opened at the end time. Thank God for Elijah. Before I come and smite the earth with a curse, I send you a blessing. So Elijah becomes a blessing before the curse comes. That's why if a true minister presents Christ, the true word every Sunday to the church, and beholds and he raises up the true image of Christ every Sunday, sin will have no part of that church. You don't do any changing, you just look. As you look in the mirror of the word, you are changed. If he presents the true Jesus, the true image of Christ every Sunday, and believers behold that true image, sin will have no more dominion over them. Because as they look, they are changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. If you present the wrong Jesus before them, it'll be a wrong image. But if you present the true Jesus, the true image of the Word, sin will have no more dominion over them. That's why we thank God. What God has joined, no man can put asunder. Because God does the joining. Not a backslidden preacher or a drunken magistrate, but what God joins. And what God joins together, no man can put asunder. That's why Brother Branham says marriage is a sacred thing. It says don't marry. Don't get married with somebody just with one birth, but live, marry somebody with two births. And so we see that that one act destroyed everything. And that's why many people don't want to talk to their children about sex, but it's important for us to talk about it. If we don't talk to them about it, the world will talk to them about it. They'll get it in magazines, they get it on the internet, and the whole world will tell them about it. But God gave us a prophet in this end time to take us back to the Word. Brother Bannon said, when I was a pastor, I used to have the boys separate, I used to have the girls separate, and I used to teach them about sex. He was a man of God, and I was teaching young children, young boys and girls about it, to help them because it's the act that destroyed the whole planet. But thank God, the original life has come, and the original Word has come to take us back to the beginning. And that's why tonight we should be the most happiest people on this earth. There's never been a day like this day. There's never been a light like this light. Because we have received the full word of God for our day and our time. So Jesus said, let's go back to the beginning. In the beginning there was no polygamy. There was no divorce. There was no homosexuality. God never made Adam and Steve or Eve or Evelyn. God made one man, one woman. And so when Jesus Christ came, when Moses came to the earth, that act was so perverted. It was now man living with animals. From one man, one woman, to one man, two women. Then it went to man and man, and it went to incest, and went right back to animals. And that's why Brother Manning said, without the Holy Ghost, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he says you are worse than an animal. And that's when the nature of God comes in us, we can go back to the beginning. Thank God. Thank God today for the message of this hour. The only thing that's sensible, the only thing that's sane, the only thing that's real is when God sent this message. You were groping in darkness. You joined the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal church, but all of a sudden, a great resurrection came to you by the promised word of this hour. We've been raised high up. You don't have to run away from sin. Sin will run away from you. Because all desires will be taken out of you. You can walk in sin and eat it. You can look and not lust. Because the word, the seed, as Brother Eugene, has got something in you that can withstand anything. Thank God. We've gone back to the beginning. And the beginning is the original. And we are the word of God. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom is the word of God. And heavens and earth will pass away, but you will never pass away. If you are the true seed of God, nobody can deceive you. No minister can deceive you. No intellectual can deceive you. There's something inside of you will show that is wrong. Because something on the inside will say that is wrong. That's why I can't deceive you. Not even Brother Branham could deceive you. Not even no five-foot minister can deceive you. If you are the true seed of God, you know, you might not have the knowledge to be able to prove him wrong, but inside you will know that is wrong. He might out-talk you, he might out-reason you, but inside the attribute will say that is wrong. Because that seed on the inside will reject that. That's why we thank God. Jesus said, let's go back to the beginning, because the beginning holds the truth of everything. May God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord and let's give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise his wonderful, glorious name. Lord Jesus, how we thank you and how we worship you. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Kind, gracious Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ that has become alive to us. We thank you, Lord, for the revealed word of this hour. We thank you, Lord, for the most powerful ministry you've sent to us on this earth. And Father God, we just pray for every person in this building. Lord, may you bless them. May you be with them. Lord, may you fill them with your Holy Spirit, O God. And Father, I pray what was said, Lord, might be a help to somebody. Father, we just want to say thank you for who you are and what you are. Bless your people in this hour. Be with us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the original life, the original seed, while we give Brother the service back to the local pastor. The original life. Original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal. Yeah, thank you, Father. God bless you.
The original life. Oh, the original seal. The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life. The original seed. God's attributes. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last day. And we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Praise the Lord.
Sing it now.
The original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe.
Amen.
The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seed. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours. We're chained down in the past, true jubilee has sounded.
Adoption.
about it. For translation, in this our Gentile days, soon will be over. Oh, glory, hallelujah to our God. The original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man.
Book of heaven. Oh, wonderful.
Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Every promise in that book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in His love divine. Every promise in that book. One more time. Every promise in that book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. How we love you, Lord. How we praise you and adore you, Lord Jesus. How great thou art. How great thou art. Glorify your worthy name. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your worthy name. How wondrous are thy ways, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor, Prince of Peace, and the Mighty God is He. He's saving me and He's teaching me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. The Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I like just to sing a song a little slower. There is none like you. You heard Brother Beckett say over and over and over, there's nothing like this message. There's nothing like Malachi 4. Thank God for the restoration of the Word of God, taking us back to the original seed. Well, just think of one thing. The denominations don't even know what to repent from or repent to. When their preacher says repent, they don't know what that means. They could go on and smoke and drink, and women bob their hair, wear makeup, marry and divorce. They don't even know what to repent from. But see, Revelation 3, that seventh angel said, be zealous. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Well, he had to give us a message so that we know what to repent from and repent to. He didn't just say come out, but he also said go in. So we've got a come out message and we got a go in message. Just one thing. How many millions of things could we discuss? We know what to repent from. If that isn't the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. Go get some rest, will you? I'm going to do that. And then just be refreshed and ready for the Word of God tomorrow with Brother Eugene. I think we do have, they told me that it would work out with Sister Ernestine. For the sisters, that they can meet in here, I believe, was it 4 o'clock? Did I get that right? Somebody wait for me. Is that right? Very good. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock? Okay, 3 o'clock, 3 to 4, right? Very good. So that's going to work out wonderful. So Sister Ernestine, I know the sisters will really enjoy that. We can meet right here. She wants to just set a chair right there, whatever she'd like to do, whatever she's comfortable with. And the sisters can... maybe ask her some questions. I think that would just be wonderful. And just pull on the many years of marriage. Pull on the many years of life. And just let the elder sisters teach the younger sisters. So I think that's wonderful. Speaking of the older teaching the younger, how many of you young ladies enjoyed Sister Margaret and Sister Julie? Wasn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's wonderful. Amen. Glad to hear that. That's the ladies clapping. Yeah, I heard it was really good. Really good. And I got to talk to Sister Margaret after. Well, hey,
I couldn't tell you how many people, when I was in my cart, they're waving me down. Man, that was, she said, I got invitations to Edmonton. I got invitations. Sister Margaret, Sister Julie are going to go on a circuit. And it was wonderful. They had a wonderful time. And it was done in such a way that many of the young ladies that came to me and said, I realize that I've been in compromise. God, forgive me. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I love it when we can apply the word. The older sisters can teach the younger sisters. The culture's screaming at those young girls every day. Screaming, screaming, screaming. Tell them to conform, 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 conform. And people will say that ministers intimidate people into conformity. Let me tell you something. The devil intimidates his group into conformity. Not the message of the hour. It's a love message, isn't it? It really is a love message. And it's an inside-out message. I always appreciate a young girl and a young man that even though they may not have a revelation, they'll honor their father and their mother, and they'll dress godly and holy. And that's okay for a while, but after a while they got to get a revelation. And then when they get a revelation of the reason for this tabernacle and its glory unto God, then they want to live holy. And it comes from the inside out. And that's something the devil can never take away from you. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You've just been a wonderful audience, and the word has been just so rich. And it's just been so good to be here. Amen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.
Isn't that true?
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you.